This morning, I want to share with you some words from 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And just prior to this passage of Scripture, Paul is addressing a challenge and a problem that's in that church. And we're going to talk about the whole scenario when we get to the message. But there were a group of Jewish Christians who had infiltrated that church, and it was a back to the Moses brigade. They wanted to go back to the old times where everything was done out of duty. And so Paul picked it up and he said, when Moses received the Ten Commandments, he went up onto the mountain, and the glory of the Lord filled him with such power that the people couldn't look at him, and so they veiled his face. But that glory faded away. Now, we're going to pick it up at verse 16, and that'll just explain what I'm going to say here. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Got that one? Moses' veil? The veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this is a great passage of Scripture, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. May the Lord give us understanding of his word as we come to it this morning. Thank you. God's Holy Spirit came and we are not the same, for and filled us with his love.
Amen.
Amen. I love that presentation by Whitney Phipps of creation. It's getting a little old now because a number of that congregation that were there listening, you may be aware they've gone to glory. They've gone to be with the Lord. But Whitney Phipps presented that moment where God said, I'm lonely. I'm going to create a man. And God said, and God breathed life into that man, and he became a living soul. There was a moment when Jesus, after his resurrection, came and met with the disciples. And they were in a closed room. And Jesus told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were to wait in Jerusalem. And symbolically, Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Then we come to Paul, and Paul had this incredible ministry to the Gentile nations. And in particular, Corinth. Corinth was a place where he'd spent a lot of time. He had his business there making tents. It was a city that had a lot of sin. And the Christian church there that he had been the instigator of were challenging the sins of that city. Paul went away from there, and I think he was over in Ephesus when he wrote the first letter. And he said, I can't write to you as mature Christians because you're like babies. And he really challenged the church to do something about its morality, about the way that they were living. And it was a very sad situation. And then I mentioned that a group of Judaizer Christians had infiltrated that church. And so the church was being challenged to go back to the law of Moses, to do good works, and to fulfill the letter of the law. And the thing that was really getting to Paul was negativity and criticism. He'd planned to visit the church, and there was all this, there was a challenge on his integrity, on his standing as an apostle. And Paul was getting very weary with this church. And so he wrote this second letter. And it's believed that he was over in Macedonia, where there's a wonderful ministry happening. But he wrote these words, and he challenged this church. Paul loved these people, but sin had entered into this church. And so we have these amazing verses embedded in this letter, where he said, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Spirit, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he took them back to a moment where Moses had climbed the mountain to meet and be in the presence of God and to receive the law, the Ten Commandments. And as he came down, the glow of his face was so brilliant, and he was unaware of this, the people couldn't stand to look at him. And so they put a veil. But the glory that he experienced there on that mountain faded away. And so Paul is saying in this letter, embedded in these words, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's no, the law is unimportant. And we're being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory. We have this ministry, we do not lose heart. There are times when we are challenged. There are times where we do want to lose heart, when the going is not easy. And we've talked about some situations this morning where it must be very difficult to go on living after these situations have happened. And that's the world in which we live. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's a great verse. And I read last night the Voice translation, and it says this. But this beautiful treasure is contained in us. Cracked pots made of earth and clay, so that the transcendent character of this power will be clearly seen as coming from God. Do you like that? So that the transcendent character of this power will be clearly seen as coming from God, not from ourselves. We're cracked and chipped from our afflictions. And so Paul is encouraging the people in this church to stand firm in their faith, to hold on to what they have experienced. We're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Because we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. And in verse 12 it says we can come with confident joy and freedom, bold. And in one translation it says very bold. And we go on being transformed constantly, gradually beholding, looking more and more like Jesus. Is that your experience today? Are you experiencing that? And these verses speak about our spiritual frailty. When I went to the training college, it's a long time ago, we all turned up in our Salvation Army uniforms and were asked to be there for this welcome dinner. And there was this one cadet who turned up right almost on starting time. He had a bushy red beard. It was full of sawdust. He was in his filthy work clothes. He had a knapsack and a sleeping bag. And that's how he turned up. And he had this very broad German accent. We could barely understand him. And he had problems the whole time through college trying to be understood because of his very broad German accent. But we heard the story of this man's conversion. He'd run away from home in Germany, left his family, his mum and dad. He jumped a ship as a teenager, and somehow or other he and his mate arrived here in Australia, in Sydney. And he got a job as a bricky labourer working on work sites. And he used to be a very heavy drinker, a wild living young guy, and quite often he said, I'd be wheeling barrows of bricks along planks across buildings, and only the Lord must have protected me. And he said how there were occasions where he'd spend a night in a prison, in a police cell, because he was so drunk and so wild that he was in strife. That was the life that he'd lived. One Friday night, when the Salvation Army officer and assistant was going through the hotel in Manly, They came across this young man, and he saw the Salvation Army and he wanted to ask some questions. And so they said to him, how about coming to one of our meetings? So they took his name and address. And on the Sunday morning when they knocked on the door, he was still suffering from a hangover. He really didn't want to go to the army. But he went along. He got dressed and came along, and that night he came back to the Salvation meeting, and Captain Earl Maxwell was the officer, so it's a few years ago, Captain Earl Maxwell. And that Sunday night, he came to the mercy seat and claimed Jesus as his Saviour. That was the turning point. He claimed Jesus. Now, I have to tell you that he was different. And his life, when you think of where it was, this is the transformation of Jesus. This treasure became real in his life, and his life began to radiate the reality of Christ. When he left college, he had an appointment for 6 months. Then he went to Brazil. He felt called to go to Brazil. And he stayed there for 30 years. He married a Brazilian. He never had an appointment back here in Australia. The general identified he and his wife and another couple to go and pioneer the work of the Salvation Army in Portugal. Now, can you see the transformation? God took hold of this man who was living a life that was there. He was saved, and there was this daily transformation. Now, it was my pleasure a few years ago to conduct his retirement here in Australia. And so it was a wonderful moment of transformation when he made that decision to follow Jesus. We are jars of clay. God is working on us every day. And it's through prayer and through reading the Word of God that our life is being transformed. We're coming to know Jesus more and more. We're coming to know God's will in our life. And we do this to show the all-surpassing power of God is from God and not from us. J.B. Phillips said, this priceless treasure we hold in a common earthenware jar is to show that the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us. Over recent weeks, I've been reading some of the writings of Billy Graham. And Billy lost his wife, Ruth, a number of years ago. He was feeling the loneliness of that loss. But he told this story, and he said, Ruth could lighten the heavy hearts of everyone, especially mine. And he said, I'll never forget the day that she came home and told us what she wanted on her gravestone. Long before she became bedridden, she was driving along a highway and she was going through a construction site. And she carefully followed the detours and the stop signs and kept going and going and going until finally she came to the end. And there was a sign and it said, end of construction, thank you for your patience. She raced home and she said, gathered the family together and said, I know what I want on my gravestone. I want you to promise to put these words, end of construction, thank you for your patience. Those words were on her gravestone and people go and look. But Billy said, every human being is under construction from conception to death. Each life is made up of mistakes and learning, waiting and growing, practicing patience and being persistent. At the end of construction, there's death, physical death, but we have completed the process. Thank you for your patience. I thought that was a great story. We have this treasure. The presence of Jesus, the daily presence, living through our life. And I want to encourage us each today to acknowledge and to enjoy the glory of the presence of Jesus, transcending within us and through our lives, allowing him to be the driving force in our life. He will enable us. And the opposite to that is what we read with that Judaizer group of Christians in that Corinthian church. Bound up with law, doing duty, doing good things, but having a veil over our faces and quite often feeling miserable and unproductive in God's service. I just said, don't let this happen in your life.